Sorry, first time. Okay, we're live. UFC talk number 7. If I can count, really, after 4, it got dicey. Special guest, James Lynch, if you're listening. James Lynch, if you're listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify, he's a senior MMA writer or editor, if you will, for At The Score. Happy late Father's Day. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for the happy Father's Day. Happy to be here and talk some fights with you, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, man. I'm just glad you came back. I'm a very big fan. I've watched your podcast. You're a really good interviewer. And for the fans, because I already know, how did you start journalism? And, like, how did you get from there to being with The Score and your own podcast?
I'll give you the short version because we only got a little bit of time here. But I've been interested in MMA probably since I was in university. I've never trained, but I just became a fan of the sport. It was season 1 of The Ultimate Fighter. That's what got me into it. I spent a couple of years working at Fight Network. That's sort of where I started my journey as far as getting into the sport. Worked there for a few years. Then I freelanced on the side for a while. And then in 2017, when I became a dad for the first time, I couldn't choose between my day job and freelancing. So I had to pick and choose because I couldn't do both. You got to be you got to make time to be a dad. So I quit my day job, which at the time was a digital coordinator for a media company, and just went full time as an MMA freelancer. So I was just basically doing video interviews, doing video editing, and doing some writing for a bunch of different MMA sites that basically made up what would be like a full time salary. So I did that all the way up until May of 2019, and then got hired in May of last year at The Score, heading up their MMA department. So it's been a pretty crazy ride.
And speaking of your son, how's your life changed being a dad?
Oh, it's been awesome. Yeah, just puts things in perspective. It's not just about what you're doing in your life. It's for him. So I want to give him the best life possible, and obviously make a lot of time for him too. So it's been great, man. It's honestly, fatherhood's the best for any of you who aren't dads out there. It's a mom, or it doesn't matter. Parenting's awesome. It's a lot of fun.
So looking back on your life and getting to where you are, would you change anything on this road?
Never, never, never. Because, if I changed one little thing, it's like the butterfly effect. It could impact everything else. And I wouldn't trade my wife and my son and my job and all that for the world right now. It's amazing. I'm truly blessed, honestly.
I like that. And I can't help but look at all those amazing posters back there.
Well, thank you.
Have you been to probably all of those where you
No, not all of them. So what I did was I've always collected posters. Like back when I wasn't even covering the sport, I used to go to like a sports bar, and at the end of the night, if they had them up in the bar, I'd ask for them and get them for free. And then other ones, I just like some of these like newer ones that you see behind me. Those are ones that I just bought online. They were cool looking posters, cool events. So I thought I'd spruce up the background a little bit here and make it look a little bit cooler than just a blank wall. And people seem to like it. So I'm glad you noticed. Not everyone points that out. So that's good.
Oh no, this is the first thing you see. I got nothing back here. This is
it's a work in progress. I had a blank wall forever, so it's all good, man.
I'm gonna get something for you guys. Okay, before we get into fights, I was just watching a Paige VanZant, Ariel Helwani interview. What's up with the fighter pay? Why isn't anybody getting paid what they're worth?
Well, it's a difficult situation right now, right? Because the UFC's, they're not making as much money as they could be right now. They're not getting a live gate in without fans. They're spending all this money on the COVID test. If a fighter gets pulled from a card, they got to fly them in. Like, there's a lot more, like, logistics that are just, really difficult for the promotion now. So the UFC's not in a position to, like, pay the fighters, like, what they're worth right now. So that's why you're seeing guys like Masvidal and Jones and Cejudo and McGregor and all these fighters eager to, get in there and take their next fight, because the UFC's, they haven't laid off anyone in their company, so they're really trying to stick to their guns and try and make the finances work. But the problem is that's going to impact the fighters, and I'm with you. I want the fighters to get paid more. I want John Jones to get Deontay Wilder money and to go out there and be able to perform his best. But I see both sides of it, where it's not great timing to have these super fights, to have these big fights where you're going to get paid a lot, because there just isn't a crowd there. So, and that's also like for Conor McGregor. Like I don't think Conor McGregor will fight until they get crowds back, because think of how much they're losing out on,
Because I was like, everyone can complain, but I'm like, you guys are getting paid. Conor can't fight. He has the money, but they're like, we can't let you fight because we're not getting a live gate, so we can't even cover you, your money, because of how much you're worth.
or they pay him less, which I don't, you know, McGregor doesn't want peanuts. He's McGregor. He's the face of the sport. So I think, you know, you just see how many Irish fans come over to Vegas to watch him fight. Like, it would be very difficult for them to put on a fight for him and expect to, you know, him to get paid the same amount when they're not getting that extra live gate. So it's just bad timing right now more than anything.
And the one thing I hate is how, like, people like Nate Diaz and like other people are like, you said you're going to fight for, like, why you got to be a dick about it? Like, he obviously could fight it, but I don't like the trash talk, too. I think trash talk in the MMA has gotten pretty bad. You got Covington. You got Diaz will come out every once in a while. Connor. It's just like, it's all just, I think the welterweight division is the drama division, honestly.
Yeah, no, there's a lot going on there. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's not based on merit, right? Like, you got guys like, you know, Leon Edwards, who's a top contender who probably should be fighting for the title next and isn't because, you know, he doesn't talk a lot of smack. So it's based off a lot of that stuff as well. And I'm with you. I mean, I do enjoy some of the entertainment side of it, but some of it's just like these fighters going after Max Roskip last weekend for quitting on the stool that are giving him shit for it. It's like, come on, guys, that doesn't help anyone. So it's just it's one of those things.
Dan Hooker, I was disappointed in what he said. Me too. Bisping and Luke Thomas. I'm like, come on. And I think the fact that they hated on the coach too. I'm like, he obviously wasn't in it. The coach tried to bring him back. It was a bad situation, but that was kind of bad to just hate on the guy.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I'm with you. Like, I'm more of a purist. I'd like to see, you know, fighters, you know, just go out there and fight, and that's it, right?
It sucks. Leon Edwards is, I legit slept on this guy. I thought the Woodley matchup was going to help him so much. I thought he was faster than Woodley. I thought hand speed. I thought that was going to be his coming out party because he needs a big one before the title. It's like nobody knows who he is, and he's one of the best guys there.
I agree. I'm totally with you there. I mean, I feel bad. And he's just a great guy, too. Like, he trains really hard. He has good wins. Like, it's just unfortunate that that he doesn't talk a lot of trash because that would probably have gotten him a fight. Although I know from hearing, you know, sort of some of the things that have come out, like, he can't train properly right now. He can't travel to the U.S. and everything. It's a little bit difficult. So I know there's been some roadblocks as far as him getting the fight. But I'm sure, I mean, I hope in time he'll get his due and get his title shot.
Sorry if I'm looking over. Got asked. Blowing off fireworks, like it's literally insane. It's like the middle of the day. Calm down.
That's guys. Crazy. Where are you at? Where are you at right now?
I'm in Illinois.
Champaign, oh, gotcha. Illinois. Okay. Because I heard about all the fireworks that were going off in New York. That was crazy. That are happening like in the middle of the night. So it's crazy.
They started this like 3 weeks ago. It's been in like middle of the night, just boom. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Yeah, and then I live like in a kind of dicey neighborhood too, so you don't know if it's guns. It's dicey. So.
You just cut out for a second there. Sorry, what'd you say?
Oh, I said I'm a big fan of Dustin Poirier. And what do you think about this matchup with Dan Hooker? How do you think it's going?
I think it's a really good fight. You know, what it's going to come down to really is a couple things. Has the injuries, you know, because obviously Poirier, you know, he's been out for a while. He had to get, you know, some stuff fixed up after his last fight against Habib. How's he going to look when he returns? Dan Hooker's looked great other than that one fight against Edson Barbosa. Hooker has a height and reach advantage in this fight. You know, it's a very intriguing matchup. I like Poirier, though. I think he's been more battle-tested. He has bigger wins. Let's not forget he has a win over Justin Gaethje, who's the interim champion right now. Also has a pretty big win over Eddie Alvarez on top of that. So I think Poirier is a guy that you know, is definitely more experienced as far as that goes. But Dan Hooker, I mean, he's looked good in his last couple fights. I know some people felt he didn't beat Paul Felder in his last bout, but you can't ignore the fact that this guy's looked really good over his last couple fights, and it's very intriguing. But I think Poirier is going to edge this one out. I think it might go the distance, actually. I think Poirier might just be able to outstrike Hooker and take home a 5-round unanimous decision.
Only thing I'm really worried about is, like, Dustin likes to fight that boxer win.
Yeah, that's the fight that everyone points to is the Felder fight. And, like, did he win? Did he not? I mean, I thought it was a close fight. I don't know if it was necessarily a robbery, but it was, you know, it's still a win, and it was a win that got him this fight. So we'll see if, you know, Hooker can take advantage of that and take advantage of this big opportunity here fighting a former UFC interim champion.
The connection getting a little bit bad. I'm looking good.
No worries. Can you hear me and see me okay?
Yeah, it's just getting a little bit dicey.
Oh, no worries.
So, lightweight division, everyone's talking about this matchup, you know, somebody can get Tony potentially next, or what about Charles Oliveira? He's my dark horse.
Mine too. I think Charles should get a top five opponent next. I don't know who that will be. It could be the winner of this fight if Poirier wins, because you know, again, if I think Habib's going to beat Gaethje, you don't want to see that rematch right away. But I think Oliveira is very dangerous. I think he could fight anyone in that top five, like a Ferguson, like the winner of this fight. I'm very intrigued to see what happens, because Oliveira is just he's everything in his game is good now. His stand up's good. I mean, he went out there and outboxed Kevin Lee. That was super impressive. He's obviously got the ground game as well. I'm really big on Charles Oliveira. I think he will fight for a title one day. I think he's that good.
That's a match. I can't get enough of that. I think that'll tell us everything. I don't think Tony submitted him. I think they neutralized the ground game. So I just want to see where his striking's at. But Kevin Lee, I think he's definitely going to be back. I think they just keep pushing him all these main events. He's not really won a lot. Let's give him like a Donald Cerrone, but I think they'll be fine. Yep. So the fights happened last week. We just got rankings updates. How do you feel about Shane Burrows going down to number 14? He was just number 10.
Ridiculous. There's no reason he should be down. That if anything, I think his stock should have went up. He fought a really tough guy in Josh Emmett. He lost, but it was a close fight. And you know, I think Burgos deserves better. And then you saw obviously that someone had posted on Twitter that the UFC is like giving their recommendations for the rankings. That's terrible. It should be up to the media member in general how they want to do the rankings. I think the people that were selected should be considered educated enough to you know, make a proper decision on their own. But yeah, Burgos is better than he might even be better than Dan Ige. We don't know. He's definitely better than Jeremy Stephens. Like, I don't know why he's getting put so far back. So it's unfortunate. They gotta do something with the rankings, because this is totally wrong.
They're dumb. Josh Emmett didn't even move up. Like, that's if besides Weili Zhang and Joanna Jędrzejczyk, that was really a fight of the year. That was a really good fight. And Josh Emmett tore his ACL, and still, he's got power. That power is crazy. I don't know how Burgos was even alive. He was taking four or five shots. Like, I was wrong. Jeremy Stephens is not the hardest hitting 145. It's definitely Josh Emmett. That guy, how does he make 145? He looks very crazy. I don't know what the UFC needs to start checking weight, because some of these guys should not be in these weight. That's another thing I want to talk about. Why, like, I'll ask you, how do you feel about Gus going to heavyweight, but, like, just weight classes, should we have more? Because that's always brought up. Like, my thing is, yeah, we could, but Dana White already has a problem with getting somebody like Stipe to defend his title, you know, and, like, these, it's more titles, more problems to me.
I'm with you there. Don't do more weight classes. It's going to get confusing like it is in boxing, where you have to figure out who's in what division. Keep the divisions how they are. I think if you were to change anything, maybe you change 170 to 175 and you have a 165 division. I'm fine with that if they wanted to take away another division. But in general, like, adding more weight classes is only going to cause more confusion. And especially like the heavier weight classes. Like, I've heard some people say do a super heavyweight division. There just isn't enough talent to make that division up. So I think all the divisions are fine. I think the one you could do maybe is 165, only because there's a lot of 155ers and 170s that are kind of in that between stage, and I think that they would perform, like, you'd have more stars in that division. I think it would be a little bit easier if they did that. But again, the logistics of that, having to move 170 to 175, having to move it would be a lot to sort of partake. But I that's the only division I'd want to see. Everything else, forget about it.
Yeah, super heavyweight, god damn, are these guys not big enough for you guys?
Yeah,
to reinforce the ring. Okay, Alexander Gus making his return, but this time a heavyweight. I think if he says, like, he said he wants to be 230, 235, I think that's fine. I think he's still faster than most of those guys. Do you think a run at the titles in his future, especially with Francis Ngannou, who everyone thinks is going to be the next title holder?
Yeah, it could be interesting. I like him coming back, just because light heavyweight's a bit of a mess right now as far as like contenders, because you've got, like, you know, two guys who lost really close fights to John Jones and Thiago Santos and Dominic Reyes. You've also got Glover Teixeira now back in the contender spot. You've got Jan Blachowicz, who should probably fight Jones next. So the division's too crowded right now at 205. I think at heavyweight, it's kind of like, obviously you have Ngannou waiting in the wings, but it's still kind of a wide open division, and they gave him a really really good opponent in his heavyweight debut, and Werdum. Werdum looked terrible in his last fight against Olenek. So I think Gustafsson could take advantage of that and get a big win here over a former champion and potentially get close to a title shot and leapfrog some of these guys just because of the name value he has.
Okay, so when we do this podcast, I like to make predictions, and there's a fight that I think is very interesting, but has too much just, you don't know what's going to happen with Mike Perry and Mickey Gall. I haven't seen Mickey Gall since last year. Mike Perry's got all these things going on. How do you break this down, and do you think Mike Perry's going to, I think Mike Perry has a very good chance. I think his ground game is underestimated all the time.
Yeah, Perry's the favorite, and he should be. He's got more fights than Mickey Gall. He's still got good stand-up, and the guys he's losing to are good fighters. It's not like Perry's losing to guys that are, you know, mid-tier welterweights. Like Jeff Neal, I think that guy's going to fight for a title one day. Vicente Luque, one of the most underrated welterweights in that division. He's also lost to Cerrone, which Cerrone, still a big name and still a guy that can pick up good wins. So it's not like Perry's losing to bad fighters. And if this fight stays standing, I could see him picking apart Mickey Gall. Now, the only interesting thing in this fight that, could play a role in this, potentially, if the fight goes longer, is that Mike Perry only has his girlfriend in his corner, and she's not very experienced in martial arts, so I don't know if that'll impact him, like if he needs to make adjustments, but we'll see what happens. I'm still picking Mike Perry here. I think on paper he's much better, and I think he goes out there and gets potentially either a TKO win or a decision.
I kind of feel like he's trolling us with the girlfriend thing, but he's serious. He's fucking hilarious, honestly. Speaking of favorites, over the weekend, I'll tell you this, because you said Vicente Luque, he's got a match, I don't know if you heard.
Randy Brown.
August against, yeah. But favorites, they said that Calvin Kattar moved to +230 over the weekend against Dan Ige. How do you feel about that? That's crazy, man.
Look at who Kattar's fought in the UFC, and look who Ige has. Now, Ige, I mean, he's definitely, like, he's made some improvements. I mean, you remember he lost his UFC debut to Julio Arce, and since then he's looked great. Yeah. He got the win over Jordan Griffin. He got the win over Bektik. Like, Ige's definitely looked really great. But Calvin Kattar, I mean, here's a guy who's finished Shane Burgos. Here's a guy who, you know, has a knockout win over Jeremy Stephens in his last fight. I know he lost his beat, but, you know, if that fight's two more rounds, that could be a different fight here. To me, Kattar should be the favorite. I don't know why all this love's coming in on Dan Ige. Dan Ige's a great guy, and I'm not trying to discredit his skill set, but I think Kattar's the best fighter.
I said Kattar. He moved to +230.
Ige moved to +230 or Kattar did?
Kattar, my bad.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. But
I don't think Vegas is feeling it. How do you feel about Curtis Blaydes? I heard something that he was the favorite in all of his UFC fights, even the Nagani rematch. That's kind of weird.
I think because he has the wrestling, right? That's always been in his back pocket. Like, I think other than DC, I think Curtis Blaydes has some of the best wrestling at heavyweight. And that was a way to win against Volkov, which we saw, because Volkov, you know, he can't stop a takedown. So that, I mean, if Blaydes didn't have that in his back pocket, he would have been favored in the fight, and he showed that he could do that too. So no issues with Blaydes, being a favorite. I mean, Ngannou, we don't know Ngannou's wrestling, how good it is, because he's never, like, he knocks guys out so quickly, you don't never get a chance to see it. So no issue there. I think Blaydes is still very good, and I think he's in this weird spot now where he's lost to Ngannou twice. Ngannou's going to fight for the title after the winner of Stipe and DC, so he's kind of in limbo right now. I think he'll have to take another fight, but that's okay. Good experience for him.
Yeah, Volkov has the highest takedown defense in heavyweight division. My ass. He is like 6'7", so that didn't help at all either. But John Jones, I kind of feel like he's picking a bear with Francis Ngannou because, you know, yeah, you're way better technically, but you move the wrong way, you show where you're going with the head movement, that left hand's going to put you out bad. He just starts Jarzine Rosenstrike. My jaw hit the ground. I didn't expect that to go that way.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I expect more of a fight out of that. But yeah, you're right. That's what Ngannou does, though. You give him any chance, he'll take advantage of it. And he's definitely the most dangerous striker at heavyweight.
The only guy I think that has a chance is Stipe because of what he did last time, but I think Stipe is going to retire after this next DC fight.
Yeah, we'll see. It's very interesting. I mean, this heavyweight fight that's coming up is so interesting because it's really going to define each fighter's careers. Like, if DC loses again, he won't be one of the greatest heavyweights of all time because Stipe's got to take that title. He's had the most title defenses. And conversely, if Stipe wins, what do you call him? Because obviously he has the record for title defenses, but he also lost to Cormier already. If he loses again, they're never going to get a third fight. Where does he go from here? He's got a job outside the UFC. So there's a lot on the line for both fighters. I'm very interested in that fight coming up here in August.
Like, a lot of people are like, we don't want to see that. I'm like, whoever wins this, is most likely the greatest heavyweight of all time, because
exactly.
they only have lost to the other one. And I was like, you guys want to have Nagano? I was like, hold off. This is legacy right here. This is the biggest heavyweight match probably of all time, because both of them are really good. Man, I don't know. They're just both old. I'm not feeling anybody wants Nagano. Nagano's just a problem. I just don't. Why is he just such a freak of nature? He just swings crazy. And, like, if you break it down, it doesn't make sense. But, like, all he needs is one.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Okay, we'll keep talking about some more fights. Usman versus Burns is a fight that interests me. I'm kind of feeling like it's going to end up being a Covington one where there's not a lot of wrestling because they've trained with each other and they know each other. Do you think Kamaru Usman is going to be more dominant or less dominant in this fight?
It's really tough to say, because I actually would give an edge to Burns in the striking. I mean, he has knockout power. We saw that against Damian Maia. Usman, you know, he has good striking, but not the type of striking power that's going to knock someone out. I mean, he did finish Colby Covington, but it was like a late finish as far as that goes. It wasn't like a first-round finish. So it'll be interesting. And then the problem is, too, if it gets to the ground, Gilbert Burns is a BJJ black belt. We haven't really seen Usman tested on the ground. So, I mean, I kind of lean more towards Usman just because of the fact that he's the champ. He's looked so good in his last couple fights. But it's tough to say. Now, Usman, obviously, I don't know if you caught it, is now training with Trevor Whitman in Colorado. Obviously, they can't train together, him and Burns. So Usman's over there. So I think that's a good move for him, getting to work with a world-class coach in Trevor Whitman, who's done some just amazing work with Justin Gaethje. But yeah, for some reason, I feel like Usman's going to edge out a decision in this one. We'll see. But if Burns, you know, clips Usman, it could be very interesting.
I'd never have seen Tyron Woodley get dropped. Tyron Woodley looked shocked as hell when threw
off his whole game plan, in my opinion. I think Woodley had a good game plan, but once he got hit in the face, it kind of went out the window.
He was like, this guy fucking hits.
Yeah.
So with title fights, a lot of people are going to hate on any fight. Let's be honest, trolls. Piotr Jan versus Jose Aldo. It's really a hard one to break down for me, because the best guy Jan's beat was Uriah Faber. Do you think Jan will get a knockout? I mean, he's always looking for the finish. Or do you think Jose, if he brings his leg kicks, it'll go to a decision?
Yeah, that's the question. Is Aldo going to use his leg kicks in this fight? We'll see. And it's still, I know he made weight his last fight, but that's still got to be a tough cut for him. Jan is a true bantamweight. He's younger. These two have actually trained a little bit together in the past, so it's kind of interesting there to see maybe what they can take from each other. But, I mean, if you're looking at this on paper, I think Aldo's the better fighter, and he's not that, like, a lot of people say, like, you know, Aldo's obviously, he's had some damage. He's been knocked out by Max Holloway, but he's not that old. He's only, like, 32, 33,
yeah,
something like that.
Which
is kind of crazy to think. Jan's a lot younger. We'll see. I mean, that's such a tough fight to pick. I'd have to dig into that a little bit more. I think my early pick right now would be Jan, just because he's fought more in the division, and I think he's, you know, I don't think he struggled a bit with Jimmy Rivera, but I really feel like this is a good matchup for him. But, you know, if Aldo goes out there and does what we've seen him do in the past at featherweight, and you know, I thought he beat Marlon Moraes in his last fight, it could get very interesting. So I think I'll give a slight edge to Jan, but I mean, that's as close of a fight as it gets.
And sources talking about them training together, they said it wasn't, it was more closer than it probably should have been. And yeah. Jan's got that pure boxing. So there's a lot of young guys, up-and-coming stars. I've mentioned guys who I think, or girls who I think are going to be the next thing, with Mackenzie Dern, Amanda Ribas, Jamal Hill, said that wrong.
No worries.
Kevin Holland, that guy at welterweight, 6'3", he's amazing. How do you feel about Brendan Allen in his matchup against Kyle Dukas this weekend?
It's interesting, right? Dukas is a guy that's had good seasoning on the regional scene. He was the CFFC champion for them, and that's a legit promotion on the regional scene. I mean, he's fought nothing but tough guys. He actually has a win over a UFC veteran in Jonathan Webb. I'm expecting a really great fight. Allen, I think, is just, I mean, it's crazy to think that Dukas is actually older than Brendan Allen. Brendan Allen's, I think, only 24 years old, and he's looked great in the UFC. I mean, to go out there and finish a guy like Kevin Holland in the first round is super impressive, second round, and then to go submit Tom Breeze in the fight after that, it's going to be very interesting. So what this is really going to come down to is, can Brendan Allen take down Kyle Dukas and submit him? Dukas has most of his wins by, it's really going to depend who has the better ground game, I think. That's what it's going to come down to. So we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, Allen has two UFC fights. He fought good competition on the regional scene as well. I got to favor Allen, but it's going to be a very, very close fight, and a very good fight. I think this could maybe steal the show on Saturday.
other people return on Saturday. Looking at it, we got Maurice Green, you got Luis Pena, Philip Lenz, who just came off a loss to Andre Olinsky. I don't know how to say that, but he looked good in that last match. Tell me some favorite TV shows. You know, Corona's been here. You know, everyone's been outside. What are your favorite TV shows and movies to watch?
Well, right now, I think the only show, I mean, there's a couple, like Billions on Showtime. I love that show. That's, I think, on a bit of a break now. They're going to come back for the next season, or like they're doing like a mid-season break or something right now. Love that show. I watch MTV's The Challenge. I've always watched that show for some reason. I like it. I know it's kind of garbage television, but it's pretty interesting. And then other than that, I mean, I watch a lot of documentaries. I've been really watching a lot of the ESPN 30 for 30s lately. We had the one over the weekend with Dennis Rodman. Before that, it was the Sosa McGuire one. I'm all about the documentaries and crime documentaries too. I love all that stuff too. But I don't watch a ton of TV. Like, I'll watch a little bit at night, you know, before I go to bed. I get like a little bit of a window after my son goes to bed. But between that and playing a little bit of video games, it's pretty much just been, you know, being a dad and doing my job. That's pretty much it.
Okay. With everything that's happened this year, how's 2020 been for you? Have you been keeping your head up? You've been good with everything?
Yeah, everything's so far so good. Just continuing to pump out content and doing interviews and doing what I love. And yeah, I mean, we've been pretty lucky here where I live in Canada in Vancouver, just outside of Vancouver, I should say. It's we've been pretty good with like the COVID stuff. Like, they're opening stuff up now. I can actually go and work out of the gym, which is great, which I couldn't do for a couple months. So it's been, we're super lucky, man. There's no other way to look at it. Super lucky to live here. It's a great community, great, you know, place to live. And yeah, I mean, work-wise, I'm still keeping busy. So yeah, just super, super fortunate.
I didn't even know you lived in Vancouver. I'm connected to things at Vancouver. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I live up in Canada, yeah.
I can't even spell Vancouver.
No worries, man. You should come up here. It's great. It's beautiful. It's, you know, got mountains.
Is it
and
cold?
No, it's not. That's the big misconception about Canada. Like, there's certain places that get cold in the winter, like Toronto or Winnipeg or even parts of Alberta. But Vancouver, like, we don't really even get any snow during the, like, at least, like, down in the Lower Mainland. We don't get any snow during Christmas. So it's...
I'm definitely going to go up there. Sorry for interrupting.
No.
She's always talked about Vancouver. She wants to move there and live there.
It's nice, man. And like, the only downside is we get a lot of rain, but I'll take that over freezing cold snow any day of the week.
You have any favorite fighters?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously was a big GSP fan when he fought. I like Gegard Mousasi. He fights in Bellator. He used to fight in the UFC. I've been a huge fan of his for a while. There's just no one like him. The way he fights, his overall attitude, he's kind of like a goofy guy. Like, it's yeah. I don't know. For some reason, I've always been a huge fan of his, and I actually got the opportunity to play some video games with him last year, which was really cool. We got to do that before his last fight against Lyoto Machida, so that was a lot of fun.
When is Bellator coming back? I was ready to see that Lima.
They said July, but we haven't heard anything, so I don't know. And then you're hearing some weird stuff about DAZN as well, so I don't know. I hope they'll be back soon, but I haven't heard a peep about Bellator.
I heard something about Universal Studios, but
didn't sound right. Maybe now. We'll see. Yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
I know you're a big NHL fan. Any other sports besides MMA and NHL?
Casual fan of like NBA, casual fan of football, I'd say. I watch a little bit of boxing too. But yeah, mainly just hockey and MMA. Like I said, being a dad takes up a lot of my time, so I'll kind of catch what I can as far as other sports go. But I'll pay attention. Like, I subscribe to The Athletic and stuff, and I read all their stuff, and I like to keep tabs on what's going on. I like, if I'm in the car, I'm listening to sports talk radio all the time, so I'm kind of like aware of what's going on. But yeah, mainly just hockey and MMA. Those are my two favorite.
What are your favorite things to do with your kid?
A bunch of stuff. Going to the park with him, trying to, you know, teach him how to like throw a basketball or baseball or whatever. Just hanging out with him at the park. That's like always fun. It's nice to get out of the house. We have a lot of parks around here, so it's really nice to like go and do that and go on the slides and stuff. And we have a nice backyard too where I live. So, you know, just going outside and just hanging out with him. And then I'm trying to get him to like, he'll play a little bit of video games. I'm all about the old school video games. So I have an old school Sega Genesis up in my in our spare room. So my son and I will play a little bit of that, and I try and teach him, and it's a lot of fun.
What advice would you give for future podcasters or MMA writers or just writers in general?
Be consistent. Try and keep the content going. Like, even if it's something small, like one day a week you're putting out something, just try and get something out every week. If you're going on vacation, still try and get something out once a week. If you can ramp that up even more, that's good. But think of yourself as a brand. That's the best way to stand out in this industry, is really to, you know, let people know who you are. Try and find your own lane, and don't be afraid to cover stuff that's not getting covered. Don't be afraid to interview regional fighters if that's what you want to do. If you want to do interviews, don't just interview UFC guys. Don't just cover the UFC. Try and cover other stuff. It's a really crowded space, and I know that, you know, the UFC is the most, if you want to get views and you want to get people to tune in, the UFC is what people want to talk about. But also try and cover women's MMA, cover like international MMA, cover, you know, regional stuff. That stuff helps because it's not getting covered as much as it should. And a lot of those fighters too will end up in the UFC. So it's good to, you know, kind of build those relationships early. So that's sort of my advice, is to sort of, you know, really put yourself out there. Also try and be professional. Don't root for fighters. Don't take photos with fighters. If you want to be serious about this and you want to, you know, move your way up, try and be professional. Think of yourself as a journalist and think of yourself as someone that, people want to, you know, tune into you and see you be professional. So those are some things I would recommend. But I have a few videos on my YouTube channel, my personal YouTube channel, that kind of explains all this and kind of points people in the right direction, because there aren't really any, you know, there isn't much information out there on how to succeed in this industry.
I'm so biased towards a lot of fighters.
For sure. We all are, man. But it's about kind of not letting the crowd know that. Like, you can let your letting the public know that. Like, I'll, you know, there's certain fighters I like better than others. There's certain fighters I like watching and I don't watch. But I try not to, like, root for certain fighters if I can, just because you don't want to be biased. Because what if you interview their opponent sometime? They're going to be pretty upset that you were, you know, going, you know, and you know, rooting for a certain fighter.
There's a couple I don't like, but I don't say that, you know.
You can say it privately. I always do that with my friends. My DMs are pretty interesting, but in general, that's sort of what I feel about it.
I'll say something I don't like that a fighter does. I think I went a little too hard in the paint on Woodley the other day, but I like Woodley. I think he's one of the best. Don't get me wrong there. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions for me, or I'm gonna keep asking you fight?
Yeah, you know, I'll throw one at you. What's your goal with this show, and where do you see yourself going? What would be sort of the dream job for you as far as that goes?
Honestly, I don't know. You know, my parents and dad have told me, like, I should try to do, like, journalism and, like, write MMA. That's something I was kind of into more as a kid. But I like to interview guys, get to know them, talk to them about the sport, or just not even people within the sport, just interview guys. My co-host isn't here today. He had surgery. He'll be back next week. But
send him my prayers. There you go.
Yeah. I should have asked him for questions, but I didn't want to bother him. But I just want to give out content and my knowledge of the sport and just talk to, and not just about the UFC. I know it's called UFC Talk. I couldn't find any other good name, but
smart though. That's what people will tune into. You can lure them in with the name and then talk about some other stuff too, right?
We mostly do though, but like, I want to cover Bellator, ONE Championship, Ryzen, all of them, and just bring in different fighters and guests and talk about it and break it down. And we had Chris Gutierrez on last week.
I saw it. I watched your stuff, man. As soon as you reached out to me, I went and checked out your channel, and I think it's great. And you got a lot of knowledge too. I think that stuff's important when you're interviewing subjects. So it's really good, man.
Yeah, and now I'm going to be putting more content on the YouTube channel, like reaction videos to stuff. Just, I feel like I do a lot of different stuff, but I feel like MMA is more of my thing. I was trying to do something at first, like all sports, but that was kind of like crazy as hell, especially for being new at this. But yeah, I just think MMA is more my thing.
Good. Well, keep it up, man. I think it's good. It's you're already doing the first step, is getting yourself out there and doing that. So it's super important. And I think it's, you know, if you love this enough, I mean, it's not for everyone, but if you love covering the sport enough, the possibilities are endless. So
thank you, man. Okay. Because I'm kind of like, I wanted to ask a question about the journalist thing, but I don't know how to, like, you got to go to college, of course, for it, but how do you...
You don't have to. Honestly, there's a lot of people who cover this sport who don't have journalism degrees, and I mean, I have a communications degree and a broadcast journalism, like, diploma, but I don't, like, it's not necessarily required. There's a lot of sites out there that if you wanted to start writing for them and you wanted to learn how to get better, they would help you out. I mean, I've seen a lot of people do that, so...
Okay, I'm going to have to take that step. Any fights you're looking forward to this year?
Oh, all of them. I mean, there's so many good ones. Poirier and Hooker this weekend. Looking forward to, obviously the Usman and Burns fight. Just intriguing to see two teammates fight each other. What else do we got coming up? I think Uriah Hall and Yoel Romero, which they just confirmed today, is a pretty interesting fight as well. That should be cool. There's a lot. I mean, the UFC's done a good job lately of... also the rematch between Rose Namajunas and Jessica Andrade. How's that going to go? There's so many good fights coming up. That July 11th card, I'm really excited for that one.
I think that's probably going to be an amazing card. He said he was, Dana White said he was hyped about the Whitaker Till card also. How about, what day is this? I think this says July 19th. I don't think that, I think it's July 18th, but, Figueredo, somebody was, he's still coming on the podcast. It'll probably be after the title fight, but, we're going to get a translator. Don't worry, I'm on top of that. But him and Joseph Benavidez in the title rematch, I don't see it going any differently. Do you think? I mean, I think Joseph Benavidez is a smart. If Dominic Cruz is the smartest guy, I think he's the second smartest guy. I think he's going to make some very good adjustments. But how do you see that one going?
Yeah, that's another tough one. I think I would have to go with Figueroa just because he did look so much better. I know the headbutt did play a part in it, but he seemed like a step ahead. So we'll see, but you're also right. Like, Benavidez is very cerebral. He could make enough adjustments to come back and take care of business. So we'll see what happens.
Even though Davison has a chin, I don't like how he's confident that he was taking some combinations over and over, and Joseph will dish it out all day. I didn't like that at all in that fight. Kelvin Gastelum, a guy I think a lot of people underestimate and don't realize just how good he is. He's coming back against the Joker, Jack Herseman. I think three rounds, I don't know about a TKO, but I'm thinking he could win this one unanimous decision, get his name back in the hat.
Could happen for sure. I think on paper, Gastelum's a better fighter, but I mean, that was such a disappointing fight against Darren Till, a fight that he should have won, and he had some weight cut issues, so hopefully he sorted that out. I know he made weight, but it was a tough cut for him, so hopefully he's fixed that, and he's taken this seriously, and because, I mean, three losses in a row, that's pretty detrimental to any fighter's career, right?
Yeah, and he's, what season was he won? I could look up right here, but an Ultimate Fighter winner, you know, he's got high praise on him. Ultimate Fighter season 17, but number seven, they did drop him in the rankings, I thought, pretty bad, but it's a stacked division. Yeah. That Yoel Romero, you know, Ryan Hall fight, I think he's going to get him. Mm-hmm. I think he was going to do the same thing he did against Adesanya, but he's going to commit more. I don't know what he was doing in that match. That was kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
It was such a hype fight, too.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be very interesting.
What do you think is the next step? Curtis Blaydes says he's going to wait for the title match to see what happens. I think he should get the winner of Derek Lewis versus Aliske Olenek.
Yeah, you read my mind. I really want to see Derek Lewis and Curtis Blaydes. It's the one sort of big name he hasn't fought in that division yet. And, you know, a lot of people are already writing off Derek Lewis in that fight. But you never know. He's got knockout power. I mean, Ngannou knocked out Blaydes. We'll see. I mean, I'm trying to think of the last. Like, I guess JDS has knockout power too. But Lewis has got some serious power in that division. So if Blaydes isn't able to get the takedown, I mean, I'm sure he will. But it could be a very interesting matchup. But, yeah, I would hope that happens as opposed to Olenek winning. That would be kind of, you know, bad to see that rematch. I don't think people are clamoring to see the rematch between Blaydes and Olenek. Right, so
I don't like Olenek. Like, I think he's good. I just think, like, I think he falls too in love with the submission, and he's not trying to be. I think he's got powerful hands, and I think he's just more in love with the ground game instead of, because I think he did good against Verdum, even though that was kind of it was weird and wild at times. Mm-hmm. Verdum didn't look good either. He looked like he came in heavy. So yeah. Two fighters making their returns. How do you feel about these return fights? Anthony Smith coming back against a guy that I think has all the talent. Alexander Rakic. Okay. Then you have Jarzin Rozenstrike making his return against JDS.
Well, the Smith fight, we'll see. He did take a lot of damage against Glover. We'll have to see how that goes. I mean, I think Smith, I mean, just looking from the outside in, I think he should take a little bit more time off, but all the power to him if he wants to get back in there and try and, you know, erase that loss of Glover to Teixeira. So that's an interesting fight. I wouldn't count out Anthony Smith. I mean, he did take some damage, but he had some early success with Glover to Teixeira. I think some other fighters that would have fought Smith in that same situation might have gotten knocked out, but Glover's such a gamer. He has a good chin. So obviously, Smith wasn't able to do anything there. And then, the Rozenstruik fight, very interesting. Two fighters who really need to get back on the horse, right? JDS losing to Curtis Blaydes and Rozenstruik using to Ngannou. So really, it's sort of a winner goes on and keeps some momentum going, and the loser takes another big step back. So it makes sense, though. Two interesting guys. What's interesting, too, is that JDS and Rozenstruik both train at American Top Team, so I guess they're going to have to stay in different parts of the gym.
I forgot about that. That's teammates go, why all these team? I mean, the biggest match I think for teammates going at it, well, they're not teammates anymore, Covington versus Jorge. We know pay's been an issue. Dana White's come out and said that. How big of a match is that, and when do you think we're gonna see that, if ever see that match?
I think it could happen, but again, I don't see Masvidal fighting until the UFC is back to doing their cards regularly with crowds, because I think he wants a big payday. Like, I think what happened, at least from what I was hearing, was that initially when they wanted him to fight Usman, they were giving him less money than the Diaz fight. That doesn't make any sense. I know Diaz is a bigger name than Usman, but Usman's the champ. Like, you got to pay the guy properly. So they couldn't come to an agreement there, so that's why they're sort of at the stalemate. So, but saying that, I mean, I can understand the UFC being like, look, we can't pay you. I mean, back in November, we had a lot more money to kind of throw around. Now it's tougher with everything that's happening. So, because you got to remember this, like, at the end of the day, the UFC has to put on cards because they have that deal with ESPN. That's why you're seeing, like, in a lot of cases, like, I mean, I guess this weekend they're not doing Sarah McMahon and Aspen Ladd, but a lot of fights, they're just finding other fighters to fill that in because they want to fill up those cards, because the fighters have to fight a certain amount of times a year. So that's why they're just making these guys fight and finding, like, last minute replacement fighters, as opposed to, just rebooking the fights. So I think that I just think the timing now of Masvidal trying to get a fight like this, same with Covington. I don't think Covington will fight for a while, aside from the fact he needs to make a new training camp. I think he probably wants to get paid well, and I just don't see that happening right now.
Like, everybody wants to get paid. Guys, come on, man. No live gate. You guys are expecting some extra money or something. Masvidal, he's interesting. I feel like in the world, I just feel like Usman's not a big star, and I feel like Masvidal is just the biggest star there. And even though he's 3-2 in his last five, he's won 3 in a row. I mean, nobody had a bigger 2019 than him. It sounds like he's on the cover of UFC 4. Ali's manager dropped double-digit losses, like it wasn't obvious who that is. Which, so most of those are decision losses. So, I just think Masvidal is very interesting, and I wonder if he's as good as he says he is. Because, okay, you knocked out Till, Aspen, and you beat Nate Diaz, but two of those guys didn't really have a chance with you standing up.
Yeah, Nate Diaz, for sure.
I think Donald Cerrone is a 50-50 fighter. I just think Nate Diaz, he just is never consistent.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. And I think, it's there's been a reason Masvidal, like, he fought Askren, who was a wrestler, but Askren couldn't even do his wrestling in that fight. Like, had Askren not got knocked out, that would be a very interesting fight, because Askren's a great wrestler, and Masvidal struggled with grapplers and wrestlers. Look at the Maya fight. Look at some of the other fights he's had where, it's tough for him to keep up. So, I think you're right there. I think it's just been good matchups for Masvidal. But, like, if he fought an Usman, there's no way I'd favor Usman in that fight. I would have to favor, there's no way I'd favor Masvidal in that fight. I'd favor Usman, because he's got superior wrestling, and that's a clear path to victory for him.
Superior wrestling, when you have that, it seems like all the champions, at least all the champions right now, it seems like they all have that. Will Khabib in his career undefeated?
I think so, yeah. Gaethje might be able to beat him, but I think Khabib's just on another level with his grappling.
I think that Gaethje fights, I'm surprised they're even talking about doing, I think that's, save that for the live gate, really. Yeah. That's a big fight. Gaethje's really, I don't know, like, you always want to think about the future and who's the next champion. I don't know if Gaethje will ever be that champion, because I know Khabib's talking about retiring soon. But after that, you got Poirier, Oliveira, Ferguson, Hooker, you got all these guys. And you still got more guys up and coming. And yeah. Another up-and-comer guy who I was not disappointed in, he lost to somebody good, but Roosevelt Roberts, Jim Miller, once again, 35th Octagon Rock, submission win, and picks up 50K.
Not bad for an old man, as they say, right? Like, I mean, he's not that old, but you know what I mean? Like, he's been fighting for a while, and good on him. I mean, look, the matchup was clear as day. They wanted Roosevelt Roberts to win. They wanted to continue to build him in that division, and Jim Miller spoiled those plans. All the power to him. He's definitely a Hall of Famer in my books. He's amazing what he's done in his career.
Okay, and more highlights on this card. Tisha Torres looked amazing in her win. Raquel Pennington, Team Rognado, they looked amazing. Like we were saying, Burgos, Emmett, amazing fight. And Curtis Blaydes got his win. I would have liked the finish. Looked like he gassed a little bit. He was kind of giving up some stuff. But he still ends up winning. And I still think that's a big win. The whole Curtis Blaydes thing's weird. You got the two Francis Ngannou losses. My thing is he ever going to challenge for a title? Because if Ngannou's got that title, do we really want to see Blaydes versus Francis Curry? And if he loses that, he's really screwed at that point.
Yeah, I know. I think, like I said, it's probably going to be a while before you see Blaydes get that trilogy fight against Ngannou. But again, we'll see what happens with the heavyweight at the top. Like, there's a lot of scenarios that could play out.
Do you think we will see Henry Cejudo again?
Yes, I do. I think I think the UFC. Well, actually, hold on. Let me just think about that for a second. I kind of quickly announce that. Maybe not actually, because here's the thing. Cejudo wants to get paid. I don't blame him. He's a double champ or was a double champ. I just don't know if the UFC is going to, like, I don't know if he's that much of a draw that the UFC wants to fork out that much money to meet his demand, so to speak, right? Like, I think he thinks he's a big star, but I think to the average person, it's not like a huge, like draw as far as that goes. Like, with someone like, for example, like Conor, right? Like, he's got a bit of everything. He's a good self-promoter. He's, people either love him or hate him, and he represents Ireland. So it's kind of this, like, three-part, like, thing makes him, like, a big superstar. So the UFC's fine paying for him. You see the views on his interviews. They're crazy. But with Cejudo, like, I think he's definitely a lot more popular than he's been a couple years ago, but I can't see the UFC forking out, like, money to see him fight, like, someone at Bantamweight, or even him fighting Volkanovski. Like, I don't think that's, like, a huge, like, money fight that the UFC would be, like, clamoring to pay him a bunch of money. So I'll probably say no. He's getting up there in age as well, so he's a guy that probably just wants to start his family and close this chapter in his career, because let's not forget he retired from wrestling kind of early too to go to MMA. I think this is just another chapter closed, so I'll say he stays retired.
I don't think Volkanovski's such a draw either. I'm looking at the pound for pound, he's number seven. Not trying to be a dick, but he is at City Kickboxing, and there's a lot of hype when you have somebody like Israel Adesanya. And to me, Israel Adesanya is, I think, the greatest striker I've ever seen fight. I think he is amazing. I think he's good. I think pound for pound, him versus John Jones is probably a great fight, a fight that we have to see. When I think about this fight against Costa and Adesanya, I'll set it up for you. You have Costa, who's 15-0. He's a knockout artist. He just goes through people. He made Romero look easy for a bit. Then you have Adesanya, the red side. He's 19-0. He's really a knockout artist himself. He's getting a couple decisions. He's elusive. He's quick. He can get your timing down. He's got the reach and the height. How do you see that one playing out? You know, we're probably going to see that in 2021 at least.
I think Adesanya wins that fight. You know, a lot of people are like, and I get Costa just beat Yoel Romero. I mean, that's a great win. I don't think there's any other way of looking at it. But I think that, like, Adesanya overall is a better striker. I mean, here's a guy that was a kickboxer, fought in Glory, looked great over there, and just seems like he's getting better every fight. I know the last fight wasn't great with Romero, but I also understand it as well. I think Romero, I mean, you've got how many title shots, and you're not coming forward against Adesanya. Like, you got to do that as well. So I think there's probably a chip on Adesanya's shoulder to go out there and put on a good performance. I think he beats Costa. I think he is the better fighter overall.
Okay, and we were talking about how Jose Aldo's age and the weight cut down. This guy, I can't believe he's 28, and he's probably one of the greatest featherweights ever, Max Holloway. So a lot of people, and I understand this too, are mad about the rematch, because if he loses again, well, he's only 28, and what's next? But what the hell? Max is only 28. It looks like he's got 8-9 years left. Is lightweight the move, or do you think he's going to be at featherweight the rest of his career?
If he loses this rematch, which I think he will, I think he goes to lightweight after this. Why put your body through that? You're not getting a title shot anytime soon if you lose two straight to the champ. So I could see him making that move. And, people talked about him, at lightweight when he lost to Poirier, but that was sort of a short notice fight. Like, him with a full camp at lightweight, him building in, filling out in his frame as he gets older, I think it's just a better fit for him. I'd like to see Max Holloway at lightweight, and I think he will move up.
And Poirier's like 170. He's big as hell. He's talking about taking welterweight fights. And Dustin Poirier is number 11 pound for pound. You got Ferguson right behind him at 12. That one's a weird one, but you got Whitaker, Francis Ngannou, then Dominic Reyes at 15. I think pound for pound, I kind of think they got these mostly right. Daniel Cormier at number 5, it kind of throws me off a little bit. You got Usman 6. But I don't think rankings ever matter, because it seems like they never really truly get them right.
Right. No, I'm with you there. We'll see sort of what happens with the rankings. It's very interesting times.
So you cover the UFC, of course. How do you – Dana White's probably the – I mean, he helped the UFC and he made it what it is. But how do you feel about him in the way he, like, talks out to the media and says the things he says? Like, the other day he said, this isn't a career, this is an opportunity. Like, how do you feel when you have a guy, because it's that's not going to fly with the NFL or MLB, but how do you feel when he comes out there and he's just shitting on people and saying, like, Curtis Blaydes, you look stupid? Like, why does he get away with it, and why does he do it?
I think he's just he sort of has to be that jerk. He's just like Vince McMahon. The whole UFC model is like the WWE model, where it's all about the brand. It's not about the fighters, or in the wrestler's case, it's the wrestlers. That's sort of how they structure things. And the thing that makes sort of the UFC a bit different than some of those other sports is A, it's individual, and B, there's this entertainment aspect to it. I mean, we've seen situations where certain fighters have gotten fights because they're more entertaining, or they speak out loud, or things like that. Whereas you don't have that in the NFL. Like, you don't need a fighter, or you don't need an athlete to go out there and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and that's going to mean that the, you know, the Dolphins play the New England Patriots. Like, that's not going to make a difference. It doesn't matter. Whereas in the UFC, you know, it does. So there's an entertainment aspect to this sport as well. You know, it's tough to say. Like, I would love the fighters to get paid more. I would like Dana White to be a little bit more professional with his fighters and not throw them under the bus at the same time. But the other part of it is, does he have to be like that in order to make the business succeed? I mean, you do have to give him credit. He's doing events during the COVID-19. He hasn't laid any staff off. So there's a lot of variables at play as far as the success of the UFC. So it's tough to say, man. I sort of see both sides of everything. I think he could be more professional, but I also think that he has to be kind of a jerk to get what he wants and get ahead with the promotion.
Okay. You got any more questions for me? I think I'm going to give you some fast questions before we let you go.
Let's do them. Nothing more for me. I'm good. Let's do the quick ones.
Okay. Should Weili Zhang be above Valentina Shevchenko in pound-for-pound rankings?
No, Valentina should be ahead of her.
Will Amanda Nunes retire?
Yes.
Will we see Tatiana Suarez back before 2021?
Before 2021, so that's next year. The beginning of next year. I'll say she comes back in 2021, not this year.
Will John Jones ever be the heavyweight champion?
Great question. No, I think there's going to be too many stumbling blocks for him to fight at heavyweight. I can see it getting kind of messy as far as him trying to fight at heavyweight and getting paid more and all that. So I'll say no.
Okay. I want to throw some hard ones at you.
Let's do it. Let's hear it.
Will McGregor fight Poirier if Poirier wins?
No.
I like that one. Okay, Aspen Ladd. I was going to ask a question, but then she tore her ACL and stuff, so, like, she's kind of out of it. Jerene Randomy, will we see her back again?
Yeah, I think so.
The Iron Ladd.
Okay, Iron Lady.
Last one. Oh, Alan Lade. I don't fucking
know. No worries. It's all good.
Kamaru Usman's 11-0. Will he end... Yeah, I guess that's kind of a dumb question. But will he end his career undefeated in the UFC?
Good question. Right now I'll have to say yes. I think this Gilbert Burns fight is going to be very interesting to see if Burns can really test him. But, like, I don't see Leon Edwards beating him. I don't see Wonderboy beating him because Wonderboy's getting up there in age. I don't see Colby beating him in the rematch. Maybe he could, but with Colby's camp situation, it just is very concerning. I'll go no.
Yeah,
I'll go yes. Sorry, he will stay undefeated.
Wonderboy, he's like 38. I'm like, Jesus, dude. You might as well get a title fight and get out of there. That would be a weird matchup, him and Usman. Don't do it. That's so weird for me. Thank you for joining me. UFC Talk number 7. I can count. We're gonna have James Lynch back very soon. Thank you for this awesome interview.
Thank you for having me, man. If your listeners can check me out, Twitter and Instagram, @LynchOnSports. I'm always on there if you guys have any questions. Even you, man. If you got any questions in general, I'm always open to answering stuff and helping people out and talking smack. It's all good. So thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
I'm going to keep in touch with you. I'm going to probably keep bothering your emails.
Sure. It's all good.
We're out.